You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's the worldwide day of giving, Tony. So what have you given today?
I'm Frank Isola. Apparently, he gave up today's show.
Oh.
He wanted no part of it.
Gave it to you?
Yes.
How about that?
Last minute replacement.
Such a giving person.
They said they had to ask you. You had a list of people. You got to the end of the list, and that's where I was.
Not true.
Crossed out a bunch of names. I finally made it to me.
Not true at all. Welcome to PTI. Tony folded after yesterday's show. So here to pick up his slack is our great friend, Frank Isola.
The old interns used to boo. The new ones clap.
That's a big
ovation
you got in there. Let's start with not one, but two 62s shot in today's first round of the U.S. Open at L.A. Country Club. Ricky Fowler got the first, and Xander Schauffele followed with his 15 minutes later. 62 was the lowest round in the history of the United States Open. Plenty of great players are still on the course, Frank. But what do you make of what Fowler and Schauffele did today?
I think it's going to be an interesting weekend out in L.A. because, like you said, you have one guy shooting 62, and it's not 5 years later. It's 15 minutes later. You have another player shooting 62. And you think about Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, two guys that probably fall into the category of best players never to win a major. Obviously, Xander Schauffele, a lot younger.
List, yeah.
But if you look at Ricky Fowler, think about what's happened to him. Here's a guy, you know, 34 years old, completely fell off the map. Last year, he was ranked 176 in the world. You know, hasn't played in a lot of majors, only four in the last 3 years. So when you talk about a good story from a very likable player, what a great way to start the tournament, a great way to start the weekend for him.
Frank, no doubt. And Fowler is one of the most popular players on tour. I've gotten to know him a little bit, just extremely likable. He didn't play in the U.S. Open in 21 or 22. And you look at it, you go, oh my goodness, I hope that Ricky Fowler is not somehow just going to be done early and out of the world golf picture because he's talented. He's still young, as you mentioned, 34 years old and so likable. But let me just say this. And Schauffele, younger player, and has been buzzing around, has like as many low rounds, you know, and many high finishes as almost anybody the past 4 years. But let me say this, man. The U.S. Open, the tournament itself is known for being brutal. 62 is not brutal. It's the opposite of brutal. And L.A. Country Club, L.A. North, has been hyped and praised and slurped for the last week. And they're going, what? People throwing darts? Now, the next finishers, next high finishers after those two
minus
guys were only 2 and 3 under. Yeah. So it's not like there were a pile of guys at 6 and 7 under. But you got the best in the world, some of whom are just teeing off right now as Schauffele and Fowler are taking credit and taking a bow. What does this mean? The U.S. Open is supposed to be a torture chamber. What do you think of it being taken for granted so far?
Yeah, I think you should grab your clubs and get out there. You could probably break 80 on that course the way things are going. But think about Ricky Fowler here.
Par 70, but still, yeah, two par fives.
Exactly.
Still, the number is the number.
Yeah, not a par 72. He finished second in the 2014 U.S. Open. That's his best finish in the major. He's had 8 top 5 finishes at majors. What a great way to start now, you know, 3 more rounds. But the way that that's playing, you wonder, you mentioned it, Mike, when these other guys start going out there, you wonder what the scores are going to look like, right?
Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. All right, let's move to reports that the New Orleans Pelicans could consider trading Zion Williamson if it means landing Scoot Henderson in next week's draft. Mark Stein says a source told him there's a, quote, rising level of exasperation within the organization regarding Williamson's ongoing availability and overall approach. All right, the Pelicans were in first place in the West before Zion's hamstring injury. So, Mike, does dealing him to land Scoot make sense to you?
Yeah, if he's not going to be available, and if they think he's not doing the things in his life that are going to make him available. And by that, we mean nothing sinister. There are people who don't think he's in the kind of shape and doesn't stay there, doesn't maintain it, the kind of shape that's going to allow him to play 75 games or so a year and be the player. Because in glimpses, Frank, you know, we all know, my God, this kid is great when he's been out there, but he's not out there nearly enough. He's not available. And so if you think Scoot Henderson is going to give you 75 games and be a player who is worthy of, you know, that kind of level in the draft, taking at that level, yeah, I could see it. I think there are a lot of teams that are that think that Zion's available. We heard that talk in Denver and Miami. I know you were in Miami last week. That buzz is out there. Would I trade for Zion? Yes. If I was an also-ran and I thought I could get Zion, and these days you need to get lucky in the draft or on draft day with a trade, I trade for him hoping I could do something. Maybe he needs the shakeup of being scared once, being dealt, being told by a club, we don't want you. Maybe that might work in his favor long term. Yeah.
I feel fortunate. I got to see him actually play in person this past season. Opening night in Brooklyn, he had missed over 500 days. I got to be honest, Mike, it looked like he hadn't missed anything. He was telling the Brooklyn Nets, I'm going to drive to my left. I'm going to finish at the rim, and you can't stop me. And they couldn't. But the problem is he just doesn't play enough. He's been in the league 4 years. He's played 114 games. He missed last season, and then this season he only plays 29 games. So if I'm New Orleans, and forget anything going on off the court, all the drama, who cares about that stuff? To me, this is more about his availability. Can he stay in shape, and can you stay healthy? And now for the Hornets, it's interesting because he's got a connection to North Carolina, having played at Duke. He's from South Carolina. You're always looking to sell tickets. But if you're Charlotte, you look at some of the history of draft picks that they have had or bringing in players. Got Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Adam Morrison, you know, Frank Kaminsky they've drafted. Plus, they've had injury. They bring in Gordon Hayward, he gets hurt. If I'm Charlotte, I'm not sure I'm doing it. But if I'm New Orleans, I'm looking to get off Zion Williamson because he simply doesn't play
enough. It's tempting, Frank. It's so tempting because you got to get look. Teams get lucky on draft day now and with the 11th pick and the 13th pick. And Charlotte's got number two. And they could take the kid from Alabama. But we don't know if he's going to be as good as Zion. I mean, Zion at his best, how what can you count on? That's the question. What can you count on?
Yep.
Now to Major League Baseball, where Nationals manager Davey Martinez was steamed by the play that cost his team the game last night. The Nats and Astros were tied at 4, bases loaded, one out in the bottom of the ninth, when shortstop C.J. Abrams fielded a grounder, came home to force the second out. But catcher Keibert Ruiz's attempt to turn two deflected off Jake Meyer's helmet. Martinez argued that Meyer's was out of the baseline, he was, and even presented a still photo in his press conference to make his case, but the play's not reviewable, Frank. Should it be?
Yeah, I think it should be. And what's interesting about this is when these two teams met in the World Series, the same exact play happened with Trey Turner. He gets hit with the ball and he ends up being called out. So I can understand why Davey Martinez is upset. Now, I'm a purist when it comes to baseball, but because now everything is getting reviewed and they're talking about, you know, robotic umpires down the road, why wouldn't you go and review a play like this? It's a run scoring play that's deciding a game. And Davey has the evidence in his hand. I get it. Sometimes with the still shots, it could be a little misleading, but he was out of the base pass there. I don't think there's any question about it.
Everything gets reviewed now
in sports. And I get it at times. It's too much and it kills the flow of the game. But baseball, the game's been moving. That should be reviewed.
Frank, I'm torn on this one. I mean, I'm not about to refute your logic in the case you just presented for doing it. But part of sport is pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
Part of sport is coloring right on the line, if not outside it, pun intended, with baseline. I don't know that I want everything reviewed. I just don't want it. And I'm not talking about just the procedural of the games taking forever, although that would be the case. I'm just talking about a guy sliding a hip into the base path and what should be called and what isn't. Make the damn call and don't give me robots. Put Blue out there, even though I'm taking shots at Blue half the season. Put him out there. Let him get the call right. Let him argue it. I don't think I want it reviewable. I understand the case. And if I'm Davey Martinez, I'm definitely upset and I'm doing exactly what he did. I'm taking that still photo to the press conference and at least present my case to the national and local media.
Yeah, I like the hip that you're talking about. That was Reggie Jackson, that famous play in the World Series against the Dodgers when Tommy Lasorda was losing it. But here's the thing with, you know, the replay review. In the neighborhood play, used to be something everybody accepted because the shortstop on, say, a double play, he's going to be near the base because he doesn't want to be on the base and maybe get his leg taken out. Now, when it gets reviewed, you're not standing on the base. They called the runner safe. So when you went down this road, you open up the Pandora's box. David Martinez, with the, you know, the evidence in his hand, he was right.
Yeah. I like the neighborhood play, too. Let's take a break. Coming up, Carl Anthony Towns makes a big boast. He makes a lot of them about his game.
And we'll find the words to describe last night's steal of home in the Yankees-Mets game. Little Subway Series in June.
Frank, I think I shot 90.
That's pretty good.
At L.A. North the last time I was there. That's too low. That's too low. That suggests
two guys in 50.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Corona, part of Happy Hour.
Time to fill in some blanks with Fill In Frank. What's first?
Carl Anthony Towns is blank when he predicts people are going to say he changed the game.
Frank, I'm sort of hesitant. Because part of me really likes Carl Anthony Towns and his story and all that he's overcome personally. And, I know you're familiar with that family things and issues. And he's sort of, there's a charm about him and he's engaging. But then at times he just goes too far and does or says stuff where you go, dude, what are you saying? I mean, he's a big man who can shoot, but so are a lot of people now. He wasn't the first. He isn't the only. And so I'm going to say that people are not going to sit around saying Carl Anthony Towns changed the game. Therefore, I'm going with delusional because Carl Anthony has that element, too. Again, there's charming and there's delusional. And he can be both, like in the locker room in a period of 4 minutes when you're talking to him. He said this to Pat Bev, speaking of delusional, so delusional.
You know, Carl Sr., who I know pretty well, I'm sure he's watching the show, so I'm going to take the politically correct word and say dreaming. Okay. How about that? Dreaming instead of delusional. But when you think about, and I think what he's referring to is being a big man that could shoot threes, and he did win the three-point shootout a couple of years ago at All-Star Weekend. But when you talk about guys that change the game, you talk about Wilt and Kareem and Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Steph Curry, LeBron James, maybe one day Jokic, you're doing it on a grand scale and you're winning all the time. He's yet to get out of the first round. He also said on the Patrick Beverley podcast, here's the thing about the ex-players or the current players having podcasts. They get their teammates and ex-teammates to really say some crazy stuff. He also said that our run this year, meaning Minnesota, after they made all the trades and getting into the playoffs, was actually more impressive than what Denver did. Denver won the championship.
Once again.
That's also dreaming.
Delusional.
Exactly. And
by the way, Carl Anthony Towns, he's got like the greatest golf swing, since we're on a U.S. Open weekend.
Too.
There's so much to like about Carl Anthony Towns. Like I said, I feel a little torn and a little guilty, but I said it anyway. Delusional.
Change the game.
Pat Bev, Chicagoan, my boy, delusional.
He's delusional, too.
What's next?
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa's steal of home last night was blank.
All right, Frank, you're familiar with this, I'm sure. I mean, the problem with this theft of home plate is that you got so much going on. You got a runner coming into, you got the runner stealing home. You've got a pitch that's not really an attempt to throw out the runner, we don't think, and it's about to hit the batter who's bailing out of the box, and so it's unclassic. It's not like Jackie Robinson stealing home with Yogi Berra's glove there tagging him out, should have been out. Jackie Robinson, by the way, stole home 19 times.
Wow.
Okay, and by the way, it's not like Javi Baez, who stole home recently in the postseason. It's not like Rod Carew stealing home 17 times. Jackie Robinson, there's no dude bailing out. That's a classic theft of home, he and Javi Baez. And by the way, there's some rumor out there that Ty Cobb, pre-records, stole home 54 times.
Amazing.
This was so common, it wasn't even a big deal. Unclassic. Batter, high pitch, bailout, too many things going on. Unclassic.
All right. My word is dangerous, and I'll get to that in a minute, but you mentioned Jackie Robinson, that famous steal of home. You know, at Yogi's museum when he was alive, Yogi had a picture of that in the museum, and he would show folks the picture.
How about that?
He would always point to it and say, out. Jackie Robinson was out. They called him safe, but he was definitely out. But other than if you're a quarterback standing in the pocket knowing you're going to get hit, or a defenseman in hockey, you know, going down to block a shot knowing you're going to get hit with the puck, this is about as close to that as you can get, because you have the pitcher throwing a ball, you have a guy standing there with a bat, you got a catcher that's going to try to block the plate. And think about Billy McKinney, the batter. Once the pitcher realizes what's happening, guys are screaming that he's stealing.
He rushes
Think about where that pitch went. That went right by the bat. So
that's
much
too many things. Your eye should be attracted to the slide at the plate and the throw.
But when you're left-handed, it's your blind spot. When you're left-handed, it's your blind spot. It's dangerous.
Wonder how many times Lou Brock did it. Ricky Henderson 4 times. Yeah. The theft of home plate is a classic thing in baseball. There's not enough of it, and now we got people junking it up in the
Well, if you get thrown out, it's like getting thrown out on third for the third out. It's just a bad play if you get thrown out at home.
I have the final word. Unclassic. Let's take one
Dangerous.
Last break. Still to come, Shohei has been struggling over his last 8 starts. Will tonight be different?
And what's at stake on the pitch between the U.S. and Mexico tonight? Maybe 12-0. That's how they taunt.
I'm gonna watch
them
that.
In Mexico.
That's the center of sports watching
tonight.
Yeah,
well, it's a good time for you. It's
the
10 o'clock here in the East.
The golf goes off at 8, right?
Yep.
And then the game comes on out.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Time for you people to get happy. Happy 85th birthday, Billy Williams, one of my absolute baseball idols who played alongside fellow Cubs Hall of Famers Ernie Banks, Fergie Jenkins, and Ron Santo. Williams' Hall of Fame career includes 6 All-Star Game appearances, Rookie of the Year in 1961, and a National League batting title in 72, a year he fell just short of MVP, won by Johnny Bench. It was a career that almost never happened. Williams left his AA team in San Antonio in 1959 and planned to quit the game because he was so fed up with racism and segregation. But the legendary Buck O'Neill visited him in his family home in Alabama and persuaded him to return. Billy Williams made his major league debut later that season.
You know, growing up in New York, I never saw Billy Williams play, but the guys that we used to hear about were Ron Santo, Ernie Banks, and Billy Williams. So explain this to me. Earlier this season, the Cubs had a Billy Williams bobblehead night. They gave out 10,000 of them.
Don't go.
And they had
Don't
number one. He wore number 26. Explain yourself, Mr. Cubs.
I'm so upset about it. I walked into a World Series game, by the way, with Billy Williams, with my brother wearing his number 26 jersey
Not
on his
number
back.
One? He didn't have number one.
Pretty cool moment.
They
26
apologize. They apologize for that, the Cubs did.
Happy anniversary, Greg Popovich. On this day 20 years ago, almost at 26, Pop won the second of his five NBA championships, beating the then New Jersey Nets in six. Tim Duncan and David Robinson were the bigs on that team, and Pop is now looking forward to his next one. Victor Wembanyama, whom the Spurs will surely select with the top pick in the draft 1 week from tonight. Pop's contract expired at the end of this season, but SpursTalk.com says the expectation is the 74-year-old Pop will soon get a three-year deal at $14 million per.
And remember, Mike, a lot of people thought, all right, once Tim Duncan leaves, Greg Popovich would leave. That's not what happened. And now the idea is because they have so much salary cap space that they might add veteran type of players. They're not going to try to tank next year. They might actually try to win and make the playoffs with Wembanyama as their center.
You and I could have springtimes in San Antonio again.
Been there a lot.
In our near futures.
Yep.
Happy trails to a game-time grand slam for Eugenio Suarez. The Mariners' third baseman appeared to have the game tied with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth, but his deep drive to right was snatched by Marlins right fielder Jesus Sanchez. One run did score on the tag up to make it 4-1, but that's how it ended. The Marlins are 38-31 this season, just 4.5 behind the Bravos in the NL East.
You see, defense is exciting, and I can never feel bad for the Mariners when something like this happens, because I seem to remember they had a center fielder that used to do this to a lot of guys, steal home runs, steal doubles, steal singles, Ken Griffey Jr. So turnabout's fair play for your Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, that's true. He snatched a lot of stuff. Yeah. No errors today, Frank, so let's get to the big finish. Shohei on the mound against the Rangers tonight. Who you got?
Tell you what, the Rangers have been terrific. Shohei last night, opposite field, upper deck. But his last eight starts, 4.88 ERA.
Not good. He needs a little bounce back on the mound at least.
The Cardinals have lost five straight. Think Oliver Marmol is in trouble.
Marmol won the division last year, but they're the worst in the NL this year. The Cardinals don't do business that way. I'm happy they're terrible, but they don't do business that way. The Nevada legislature approved the stadium financing deal for the A's. Your thoughts?
You know what? It's heartbreaking, and I don't live in Oakland. I don't really have a connection there. I feel bad for the people of Oakland. It's a great city.
I do, too.
It's a great sports town. Their football team left. Their basketball team went across the bay,
moved,
and now they're going to lose
8 miles.
They should have built a better stadium. That stadium is dreadful. Today is the 35th anniversary of the release of Bull Durham. Are you a fan?
You know what, Frank? It's okay. I think it's overrated in the historical references. It's like, okay, let's get over it. Like most of these, you know, sports movies are just not as good as they ought to be. Last one, USA versus Mexico tonight in the CONCACAF Nations League semi.
Yeah.
Big game. Yeah. In Vegas, who you got?
You said it in Vegas. We were just talking about Vegas. U.S. has been the better team. U.S. will win, could face Canada this weekend for the championship, which has become a really good rivalry. Used to be U.S.-Mexico.
Yeah.
Now U.S.-Canada is just as good.
Big
That's
deal
Tony's
tonight.
Team. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, your sports center.
How many guys you got shooting 62? We had two in 15 minutes. Get out there, Mike.
Nah.
Mike, you'll break 80.
It won't be that easy.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.